How about we turn to the Gospel of John and turn to chapter 6. And as you turn there, I'm going to open in a word of prayer as we look at God's word. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that we have your word. And Lord, we can learn so much. Learn how you created this earth. Learn how you established your people, saw men of faith. And Lord, also have recorded the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and things he said, the things he promised. Lord, there are so many wonderful things that we can learn. And as we stop and consider tonight, him again, I pray that you would do your work in our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of my message for this evening is, why do you follow Jesus? Are you a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're watching tonight, I suspect that you would refer to yourself as a follower, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, tonight my question is, why do you follow Jesus? Last time I was speaking on a Sunday night, which I think was a couple of weeks ago, we looked at John chapter 5 and we saw how Jesus was showing the Pharisees how he was equal with the Father, making himself God the Son. Well, tonight we're going to have a look at chapter 6. And if you were to do a little bit of flicking in chapter 6, you would discover that there are 71 verses. And so there are scores of things that we could stop and consider, and probably could take half a year to go through chapter 6 if we really wanted to, if we went slowly through the verses. But it's not the Lord's miracles that I want to look at. It's not the Lord's miracles that I want to look at tonight. It's not even the words of the Lord Jesus that I want to look at tonight, but it's his disciples that I want us to consider tonight, the disciples of Christ. And in John chapter 6, sadly, we discover that nothing really has changed over the past 2,000 years when it comes to those who are followers of the Lord Jesus. Every day, there may be multitudes who profess to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They attend churches, they learn about Jesus, they seemingly obey him, but so many people end up like the disciples that we see here in John chapter 6. They end up becoming the same as them, as we'll discover. And in John chapter 6, there appears to be a great revival, but in reality, it's far from it. Have a look there in verse 2 of John chapter 6. And we read this, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And so first of all, we see that there was a multitude following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's a wonderful thing. Followers of the Lord Jesus. They're not following another person or a false god. They're following Jesus. And if we were to read on, we would read that very famous story of how Jesus feeds the multitude. And we discover there was around 5,000 men, not including women and children. So there could have been 15,000 people following the Lord Jesus. They got hungry. And Jesus did that wonderful miracle of feeding them with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Praise God how he supplied the needs of these people following him. Now after this, we see that they were so impressed with Jesus that they wanted to make him their king. Have a look there in verses 14 and 15. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. He is the fulfillment of the prophecy, of the prophet that would come." And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again into a mountain, himself alone. And so this multitude of people who followed Jesus enjoyed the benefits of seeing a miracle and Jesus looking after them. They also wanted to make him their king. Now, after that, if we were to read on in the chapter, we discover that Jesus half walked and half sailed across the Sea of Galilee to Capernaum. And when he was there, the multitude didn't say, "Oh, well, that was good while it lasted." No, they followed the Lord Jesus. Have a look there in verse 24. "And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." And so they relentlessly followed Jesus wherever he was, seeking Jesus. In verse 28, we see that they wanted to do the works of God. Verse 28, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus, tell us what you want us to do. We want to do what God wants us to do. And then in verse 34, we read this. "Then said they unto him, Lord." And so they called him Lord. "Evermore give us this bread that you're talking about." And so to read these things, you would think there has been a great revival take place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ here. This would make any pastor excited if he saw that taking place in his church. He would think that there is a revival going on, seeing 15,000 people stacked into their church, learning about the Lord Jesus, wanting to make Jesus their king, calling him Lord, wanting to know how they can serve and do what God wants. These are all things that would make you think there's a wonderful revival going on in the hearts of the people. But many stories like this, even today, end up the same way it did in John 6. Because we're told in verse 66 and 67 this. It says, "For from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Well, that's sad. Verse 67. "Then said Jesus unto the 12." So it seems like they're all gone. And he's only left with the 12. And he says, "Will ye also go away?" And so one moment he has like 15,000 people. And it appears that now he only has 12. And we know one of them wasn't even a true disciple. And so many went back to their old way of life, to their old views, to their old attitudes, and they no longer followed the Lord Jesus. And even the 12, he was wondering, "Are you going to leave me as well?" He wasn't too sure about that either. Out of the great crowd, Jesus wasn't left with what you would call true disciples. And this has been happening ever since this time as well. You know, in my limited experience, you know, you can, when you deal with teenagers, you can see wonderful things. You can see them so excited at youth group and at camps and youth suppers, and they talk about Jesus and what he's doing in their life, and you think there's like a revival going on. And then you skip forward a couple of years and most of them are gone and they're not even following the Lord. Heartbreaking. You see it plenty of times in churches, where you have people that will regularly attend. They are faithful to every meeting. And they sit and listen and seemingly want to learn about the Lord Jesus. They are involved in ministries. I've seen people be deacons in churches and hold positions of leadership. They come to prayer meeting and they pray that God will do a work in the life of the church and in the hearts of the people as well. And there is sincerity there. But if you were to look back, if I could think of many of these people, they're no longer even serving the Lord. They don't go to the house of God. They don't talk about him. They do nothing for him. In fact, you would wonder if they're even saved. And the question is, why? Why do people stop following Christ? Why do they forsake him? And, you know, I guess there are many reasons given. If you went and talked to them, maybe they said, well, I've been hurt by too many Christians, so I just don't want to hang around Christians anymore. Others might say something like, I'm just disillusioned. There are so many hypocrites. There's so many things that happen in churches that are not godly. I'm too disillusioned with it all. Maybe they might be at least honest enough to say, look, I am just gripped with sin in my life and I just don't want to go anymore because I'm choosing the pleasures of sin for a season instead. But regardless of the reasons that may be given, I'm convinced that in most cases, the core of the problem is the same as what we find here in John chapter 6. And the core of the problem is unbelief. Unbelief. Have a look at verses 35 and 36. We read there. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. He's talking to this congregation. He's talking about those who believe will never hunger or thirst. But he says, I said unto you, as he says there, you've seen me, but you don't believe. Have a look over in verse 59, would you please? 59, it says, and these things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. Jesus could see their heart, and he knew that although he called them disciples, he said, there are some of you that do not believe. The real problem with these people in John 6 was they didn't believe what Jesus was saying. And there's some very tricky and deep things there that we're not going to be looking at tonight. And in most cases today, the real reason why people no longer follow Christ is simply because of unbelief for one reason or another. Some, they don't even believe that he is truly the Savior, or they haven't believed on him to be saved, and so they're not saved, and they just fall away. Others believe and are saved, but they don't believe what Jesus says about other things, and that's why they fall away. But in both cases, the core of the problem is unbelief. And when it comes to these disciples in John 6, they didn't believe what Jesus said about himself. And whatever the fashion is of being saved prior to Pentecost, we can say that they weren't saved. That was their problem. They were disciples, but they weren't believers. And I believe you can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because a disciple simply means a pupil or a learner. You can be a disciple in the broad sense, but you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ where you are saved. You know, this is not a new thing. I remember my dad telling me when he went to Bible college, which I was trying to work out how long that would have been. I don't know how old he would be now if he was alive. I'm guessing about 87 or 88 or something. What? My wife is telling me more. Okay, so this might have been 60 years ago, somewhere around there, that he went to Bible college. And I remember him telling me that while he sat there as a student at Bible college to learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, he said there were many of his fellow students who didn't believe the Bible was inspired. Now, this was at Moody Bible College. It's still going today in Sydney. He said there were many that didn't believe that Jesus was God the Son, that he was just a man. They didn't believe the miracles were real. They were just made up. And he said even many of the lecturers didn't believe these things as well, these basic things. Yet they were there to learn about Christ. But they weren't believers. And in most churches, there are what we would call disciples, but that doesn't mean they're all believers. As Jesus made it clear when it came to this crowd of people as well, it says there that when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured, so it's referring to the disciples, he then says, but there are some of you that believe not. He understood there were disciples, but they didn't believe. And that begs the question, if they didn't believe, why were they there? As the title is, why do you follow Jesus? And that could have been a question we could ask them. Why are you following Jesus if you don't really believe him? Why did they go and listen? Why did they follow him to Capernaum? Why did they want to make him their king? What on earth were they doing when they didn't even believe what he was saying about himself? Well, we see that although there are lots who followed the Lord, they weren't all there for the same reasons. And that's the key. They weren't all there for the same reasons. Just like when someone turns up to a church, even watching tonight, I dare say there are people watching tonight for very different reasons. And it's the reason that makes all the difference. You know, some were there for genuine godly reasons, while the majority were there for selfish reasons. And what I want you to notice tonight is that these selfish godly reasons are often the same reasons why people profess or literally follow the Lord Jesus today. And that's why they end up forsaking him in the end. And I think it's very good. Can I encourage you to search your heart this evening and ask yourself, why am I watching this service tonight, for starters? And then when we're able to meet together, or how we did it in the past when we did come to church, why was I going to church? What was the reason for doing those things? Because I'm convinced that even believers, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and then they are truly born again, can end up going to church and following the Lord for the same godless reasons as these people here in John 6. And those who do this today are prime candidates to end up forsaking the Lord like the multitude did here as well. I'm not foolish enough to think that every person who stops following the Lord Jesus they do that because they're not saved. But I do believe that unbelief is still the reason that they've forsaken him. That must be the case. They may believe that Jesus died for them, but they mustn't believe God's word when it says that sin can destroy them. Because why would they play with sin if that's the case? They mustn't believe what God says about that, how that his ways are the best ways. Otherwise, why would they choose to go a different way to what God says? They mustn't believe when God says that his word is the rivers of life where joy is found. They mustn't believe that. Otherwise, why wouldn't they spend time in God's word if they truly believe that? I believe there are a multitude of Christians who would say they go to church, they are disciples, they follow the Lord Jesus, but they are riddled with unbelief nonetheless. As we're told in Hebrews 3, verse 12, it says, you know, beware lest there be an evil heart of unbelief in any of you. This was talking to Christians. And the writer goes on to say that if you do have this evil heart of unbelief, you will be hindered from entering the Christian's land of promise, which is that place of victory and joy as you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And sadly, there are many Christians that go along to church, listen to the word of God, they are disciples of Jesus, but their heart isn't right with him. And their heart is full of unbelief. There's no sweet fellowship. There's no victory in sin. There's no joy as a Christian. And they are dragging themselves along to church when they can, dragging themselves to the YouTube channel. And it's not their love for the Lord that keeps them coming. It may have been in the beginning, but that's well and truly gone now. There are other reasons why they do that. And so there's a lot of wrong reasons. And so I think it's important for each one of us to make sure that we're not listening tonight or attending when we're able to attend for the wrong reasons. We need to make sure that we're following Jesus for the correct reasons. Otherwise, we will end up like this. Let's have a look at two reasons why people, wrong reasons why people followed the Lord Jesus at this time. The first one is found in verse 2, which we've already read. It says, "And a great multitude followed him because." Now, why? Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Why did they follow? Because of the miracles. Now, it wasn't that the miracles revealed to them that he was truly the Son of God and they wanted to follow the Son of God, understanding that he has the words of eternal life and that ability to cleanse and forgive their sin. No, they just followed for the miracles. For some, they wanted to be healed. For others, they wanted some entertainment. They wanted to see a leg grow. And I tell you what, if I heard that Jesus was down the road and he was doing miracles and people's legs were growing, I would be down there as well just to see it. But that doesn't mean I am someone that's going to love him for the rest of my life just on the basis of wanting to see a leg grow or something like that. And while Jesus was entertaining them, they were very happy to follow him, even across the Sea of Galilee. But once Jesus started to confront them about the way they were living and their need to repent of their sin and how they needed to get right with him, and he was the only way that they could enjoy the cleansing of sin, they didn't like being confronted about those things. That wasn't the purpose of following. They just wanted some entertainment and see some miracles, maybe get healed of something. But when he started to deal with their soul and their need, many stopped following him. They were there, as we could say, to be entertained or maybe healed. You know, it could have been Satan doing that, and they probably would have gone and watched and be entertained as well. Most weren't searching the one who had the words of eternal life. They were just searching for something to tickle their senses. And you don't have to be a Christian for long to know that in too many places is the reason why people follow Jesus. Most people will go anywhere to be entertained. They don't care if it's at a nightclub or in a sports arena, and they don't even care if it's in a church. If it's got a beat and it feels good, if there's some entertainment value, maybe some sensual value as well, if there's something spectacular, if you're going to see some guy let a snake bite them, a brown snake, and then see them miraculously healed or whatever, sure you're going to go and watch that sort of stuff. We love to be entertained. Most aren't concerned if even the entertainment is godly enough or not. They don't care if it's the devil entertaining them or if it's God entertaining, as long as their senses are tickled, they're happy to go along. And if that's the reason why a person goes to the church, well, then they're going for the wrong reasons. And once the entertainment is gone, guess what happens? They're gone as well. And that's why it's very dangerous to try and build a church on entertaining people to get them in. Because then you have to keep them entertained. You've got to get louder. You've got to get more spectacular. You have to get more worldly and sensual. And then even when they get sick of that, they'll leave anyway. And I do admit, I get scared when I hear people say that they're not coming to church because they find it boring. The preaching, it's boring. It shows me that their attendance isn't based on their love for Christ and their desire to worship the Lord in life and to hear the word of God so they can grow. Instead, it's based on this principle that I want to be entertained. If it's boring, well then, I don't really want to come. And I tell you what, if these lockdowns have done anything, it certainly has, and I put myself in the same boat, it has made you stop to wonder what is important about the Word of God, and why do I want to hear it? You know, we've had everything stripped away from us. We can't go and meet friends. We can't catch up with news. We can't sing songs that we might enjoy. We can't go off to Hungry Jack's afterwards. There's plenty of things. All that has been stripped. And when you look at this camera, where I look at the camera and you look at me, all you're getting is the Word of God and nothing else. And if that is boring, if you think, I don't want to bother tuning in because all I'm going to do is hear someone preach about God and His Word, and that's boring, or I find that hard, well then, you've got to wonder, why did you go to church in the first place? Now, I know it's hard to worship Him in a manner that is complete, but I tell you what, this shows us why we wanted to go to church in the first place. If you think I'll go for a drive and walk through the bush instead of hearing Pastor Mitchell preach because that's just preaching, it's boring. Well, then that might show why you have been going to church in the first place, and it's probably showing it's the wrong reason. And that's what these people were doing, some of them. They were going to be entertained. And once the entertainment stopped, they no longer followed. But that was only some of them. Some of them also were there for another reason, and that is for personal gain. I am following Jesus because Jesus can give me something. And isn't that why a lot of people go to church? They don't go so I can give or I can worship. It's I'm going to go to church because it can give me something. And if the church isn't giving what I want, well, I'll go and find another church that gives me what I want. It's all about me. Well, many of them there were following Jesus for personal gain. And if you're coming for personal gain, and I'm the preacher, you're not going to last long, because, boy, people wouldn't even stick around for Jesus. So there's no hope of you hanging around if it's just, if you've got to put up with my preaching and you lose what you're really here for. Let me explain. Have a look at verse 24. It says, "When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus." Now, why did they want to see Jesus? "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when comest thou hither? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." Jesus said to this crowd, "I know why you're following me all this way. And it's not because I've got the words of eternal life. It's because of the bread I supplied you." They were following him not so their souls could be fed, but so their bellies could be fed. And this was the real reason why many of them were there. And this is the reason why they wanted Jesus to be king. Could you imagine a king who could just make food out of pretty well nothing? Now, that's the sort of king you want, especially in those days when hunger and getting food was quite serious and it wasn't in abundance. Jesus, be our king and supply us with food every day, was really their mentality. And the real reason why many followed the Lord had nothing to do with them believing that he was the Messiah, Son of God, who could give them the words of eternal life and cleanse their soul and bring peace between them and the Heavenly Father. No, it was all about supplying their immediate need of food. They had temporal needs, and they could see that Jesus could meet them. And so they followed. And I tell you, when you start to be around a church long enough and you discover why people come and why people leave, you soon start to realize that many are not coming to worship God because they want to hear the Word of God and they want to have their hearts ministered to by the Word of God. They're there for temporal reasons. And once those temporal reasons are gone, they are gone. Some people, they go to church for friendship. But when they don't find there's any friends, they leave. They weren't there because they wanted to hear the word of God and worship him. They were there for friends. No friends, they're gone. Others, they come for acceptance. And believers can be very accepting and accept people that may not be accepted in other areas of life. And so they feel accepted. But once they get hurt by someone or they feel as though they're not accepted anymore, they're gone. Why? They were following Jesus for acceptance from others rather than wanting the word of God. Some, they just need to appease their conscience. Oh, I feel guilty. I've been told I should go to church, so I'll go to church. But when they no longer feel guilty about not going, they don't go. It's not about Jesus. Some, it's for self-esteem. They want to feel important, and they can get a position in the church and maybe feel important in the church. And so while they're holding that position, they're getting their self-esteem pampered to, and so they're very committed to that church. But if someone else comes along and takes that position, or they lose it for one reason or another, and they're not getting that supplied, well, then they have no interest in going to church anymore, because it wasn't Jesus they were following, it was their self-esteem that they were wanting to promote. Too many go to church. They are followers of the Lord Jesus, but they are doing it for the wrong reason. A bit like the drunk who might go and sit in the Salvation Army church and he will listen to the word of God, but he's only there for the meal at the end. Now, I'm not saying good can't come out of that, but don't say he's a sincere follower of Christ. When that drunk gets saved and his life's changed and he's going there despite if there's food or not so he can hear the word of God, that's when you know he's a true follower. Or it's a bit like the young man who might start going to church because there's a girl he likes there, and so you think, wow, isn't it amazing that such and such, they're coming to church every week, but they're not coming for Jesus. And if the girl goes, they're gone. There are lots of wrong reasons why people are followers of Jesus. And to be honest, I know that there are plenty of times when God knows my heart, but if I was to reveal my heart, there are plenty of times that I go to church for the wrong reasons. Over the years, I can look at, I have not always gone to church because I wanted to sincerely worship the Lord Jesus because I love him with all my heart and I want to learn more of his word. There are times where I've gone because I know I felt expected to go, or I'm afraid if someone, the pastor's going to call me up and wonder why I wasn't there, and so I better go. Or I went because I needed to catch up with someone, and so it was a good opportunity to do so. Or I think one of the worst ones is I'm going because I want to be a good example to my children. I'm not going because I love Jesus. I just want to pretend that I love Jesus to my children so I can be a good example. What? So they can grow up to go to church, even though they don't love the Lord Jesus, to be a good example to their children. That's not how it works. I know over the years I haven't always gone to church for the right reasons. And sometimes I've been a part of a big crowd, and you think, look at all these followers of Jesus. Yet if I was within that crowd in John chapter 6, when I had a heart, sometimes I would have been one of those who went. Because there were no more miracles, there was no temporal blessings or things for me, and I would have gone. And I think we all would admit we haven't always gone to the house of God and sought him for the right reasons. The scary thing is if that becomes the normal. Your heart isn't because of one that loves the Lord Jesus and wants to learn about his word and worship him, but it's because of something else. And when that something else is gone, you're gone. Once there's no bread on offer, you're gone. When there's no entertainment, you're gone. One thing I do know about our church, when we do start up again, and in the past as well, if anyone came to our church with the hope to be entertained, they're going to be sorely disappointed. I know that our musicians, I think they do a lovely job. The choir is spectacular, but you're not going to get just those senses tickled to the point where you're going to go for the entertainment. And I like that. And so if you're coming because you want to hear the word of God and you want God to speak to you through that. And that's the real reason why you should be watching tonight. Not out of obligation. Not out of fear you might be heard that you didn't watch. Because you want God to speak to you. I think it's interesting when the whole multitude left. Maybe Jesus is starting to think, and he turns to his disciples and he said, will you also leave? I do love what Peter said there in verse 66. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that beautiful? Simon wasn't there for the miracles. He wasn't there for the bread. He was there for Jesus. He knew that he had a need. He had a need of a Savior. And Jesus was that Savior. And that's who he wanted. Question is, if the Lord looked at your heart, what reason would he find you sitting at church when it's on? What reason would he find your heart now? I know you, if you're watching, you're not here because you've come for all your friends, because you probably don't have any friends. You're not watching because you can want to catch up with some people afterwards. You're not watching because you're afraid that people will notice you're not there, because I have no idea who is watching and who isn't. You're not watching for acceptance, because there is none of that here. Then you're not here for formality or responsibility for responsibilities, because you're not having to do anything. I trust you're watching because you have a love for the Lord Jesus and you're a follower of him. Because he only has the words of eternal life. And then when we're able to meet and continue to serve the Lord, I trust that's the real and only reason why you're there. Everything else is a bonus. Everything else is benefits. Talking to people, fellowshipping together, being able to serve, and all those things are just extras. But it's because you love the Lord Jesus. So I'll finish with the same as I started. Why do you follow Jesus? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have a Savior that we can follow. He can be our King, our Lord, our Master, but he can also be our very best friend. What a blessing that is. And I pray that, Lord, we will want to follow him, and it's him that we want and not the benefits that come with it. And I pray that you'll challenge each one of our hearts tonight over that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.